welcome to the podcast arm of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, Peculiar People's Parish, based in Regina, Canada. Our mandate is pursuing His purpose, pronouncing His power, and proclaiming His praise. You can subscribe to our podcast channel today so you never miss an episode of our podcasts. Be blessed by this teaching.
And I want to use this medium to welcome those that are watching through any of our platform. You are most welcome to today's service. It's a Bible study, and we'll have a very interesting topic to treat together here this evening. The topic before us here is the diligent hands. We all know what it means or what it takes to be diligent. You might have heard listening to sermon like this before now, or perhaps you might have read about diligence, but I want you to open your heart this hour, because God is about to do a new thing this minute in the mighty name of Jesus. I want to celebrate the pastorate for this unique opportunity. Let's put hands together for the leadership. Thank you for giving to the Lord every opportunity someone like me have to stand on this side of the divide is highly appreciated, and I will not take it for granted. Proverbs 22:29. The Bible records, "See thou a man diligent in his business." Yeah, "See thou a man diligent in his business. He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men." I also want us to look at Proverbs 12:24. I'm going to do a lot of Proverbs today. Proverbs 12:24. "The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute." If you have a Bible and it's yours, underline slothful. Can we also take a look at Proverbs 20:4? Proverbs 24, thank you. Let's celebrate the media. They are doing a great job, man. Thank you, sir. He said, "The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing." My God. When I was preparing, I didn't see this version. "The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing." Okay. Let's also look at Proverbs 10:4-5. Proverbs 10:4-5. "He became poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame." Now, from this scripture, you see that when they mention diligence, there's a place for the sluggard, right? They will mention diligent, they will say the lazy. They will mention diligent, they will say the slothful. For your information, slothful, lazy, what is the other one? Sluggard, they are in the same WhatsApp group. Now, why is that anytime the Bible talks about diligence, it mentions them? So they are very important. Bible will talk about diligent, it will mention the slothful. He will talk about diligent, it will mention who? The lazy. And then we need to talk about them. Because one thing I know in life is that you will not appreciate wisdom until there is foolishness. If there is no foolishness, you won't even know whether you are wise. Because if you are living in a city where just 20 people reside in that city and 90 of them are foolish and they have been living together for only God how many years, as far as they are concerned, what they are doing, they don't even know. Until that wise person, the only one person, comes and gives his own counsel over anything. So also evil. Evil is one of the most important things that make you to know that it is good. So if we are discussing diligence and we do not discuss the lazy or the slothful or the sluggard, then we might not understand fully what diligence is all about. So I want us to take a look at what the sluggard, what does it mean to be sluggard? A sluggard is someone who is habitually lazy. or inactive. Such a person does not take responsibility for his or her own life. The word sluggard was mentioned 14 times in the book of Proverbs. He said, have you ever met somebody that doesn't take responsibility? Have you related with somebody? He's a very difficult person to befriend. He does not take responsibility for anything. He complains over everything. I tell people that life does not answer to complaining. No. That maybe you're in a class of 2002 set. And after 10 years, you and I came together. You now met somewhere, or there's a reunion. And this one is saying, I work with Mobile. And I live in Regina, Saskatchewan, in Canada. I live in California. I do this. And one person just come and say, well, you see, when we're in final year, my father died. Oh, sorry. If not that your father died, maybe you would have been somewhere. Does life answer to that? No. Life does not answer to excuses. Because everybody has enough excuse to give for everything. To come to church today, you have enough excuse not to come. Why? You went to work, you left home 8 o'clock, you came back 5 o'clock, you rushed to church. Enough excuse to say, I'm not going to be here. You have assignment, you're a student, you have thesis to defend, you have one or two things to do, you still chose to be here. Why? Because excuse does not answer to... There's always a good reason not to do something. That's what I'm saying. So now that we understand the sluggard, they are the lazy type. The Bible regards them as, when it is time to plant, they don't plant. Lazy people, they don't take initiative. The sluggard, they don't take action where necessary. They complain over everything. There will always be government. There will always be inflation. There will always be this. So you complain about it today, you are just wasting your time. So now we cannot discuss what we are here to discuss, which is diligence, the diligent hand. The dictionary says that it can be described as determination and careful effort. Understanding diligence goes beyond mere hard work. It involves consistent effort, focus and commitment towards achieving goals and maintaining high standard of productivity. Commitment to excellence is driven by discipline, which enable one to stay on track and resist distraction that may hinder progress. So in your opinion, what does it mean to be diligent? Hard work. Is it hard work? Some people say you work smart is better than you work hard. Are we correct? What's the difference between working smart and working hard? Is it working smart in the sense of smart? That is to say, they ask you to do something, you dodge because you are smart, you are able to maneuver, and you get it done. Is it what we're talking about? No, people will tell you, you don't work hard, you work smart. What is the smartness? Can we define it? Because hard work is no longer fashionable to be hardworking. Hello? No, people are looking for the easiest way, shortcut. So it's not fashionable. When you say hard work, So, is it working smart in the sense of smart? What are we talking about? Is it really, really smart? Can somebody help me? I didn't intend to open the floor at this stage, but I want us to get it. What does working smart actually means in relation to working hard? Can somebody help us? Working smart, okay. Oh, we have a lot. Thank you, man.
I think working smart would be maybe when you start prioritizing and then making plans, putting plans in place to achieve that goal. And then I can say, yeah, you're working smart.
Thank you. Not that you are making some smart moves, right?
No.
Okay. Can you help me? Do you have anything? Let's put hands together for her. Good contribution. Working smart or working hard?
To work smart, I would say, is to be efficient in what you're doing. So instead of wasting hours away and not making any progress, make a plan, like Auntie said, and make sure that your every action has something that you're getting out of it. That's working smart.
You should be the one to take this topic. Praise God. He said it all. He's talking about effectiveness, not smartness. Some guys will say Yahoo is just a smart way of getting back from people what they stole from our ancestors in the olden days. They said it's working smart. It's not as if we are, you know, some of these guys will call you, they'll say back home, we have your ATM card and then we just want you to read so-so-so number. So when they are called, they say, no, they are just being smart, that they are using their brain to be smart. No. What you have to work hard. When we are, the smartness in it is just your level of efficiency, how effective you are in what you are doing. So we should not run away from Bible encourage us to work hard. Because it is work. That was the first responsibility God gave man. When Adam was in the garden, he did not say, Adam, just be looking at this, the beauty of the garden. He said, responsibility, tend this garden. It's the responsibility. We should understand that. And I said it one time. When the siblings of Joseph were to meet Pharaoh for the very first time, Joseph called and said, I know when you meet with Pharaoh, that there's only one question I am convinced he's going to ask you. I think it's Genesis 28 or so. What do you do? What is your occupation? He said, when he asks you, tell him that you rear animals. Was that not what happened? When they met, that was the only question he asked them, not yes. He was not interested in their build or whatever. He just said, what do you do? That is the same reason as a young girl, you bring a man to meet your parents, your mom will just call you, hey, your kid, what does he do? Why? Why is it that that's the first question? Hello, can somebody help me this morning? This hour. Why is it that that's the first question? We have a mommy in the house. Why? Because of money, right? Parents, yeah, where are the mommies in the house? Why is it that when your daughter brings a man, the first question you ask is that, what does he do? Are there no other questions you should ask? Why is it that what do you do is the first thing you will ask? Can somebody help me? Yes, mommy, help me. I want the mothers in the house.
Well, I recall my father asking my husband at that time this question too. And the reason is just to be certain the person can take care of you.
Responsibility. They want to know the level of responsibility that guy will be able to shoulder. Hello. I can't imagine your daughter brings somebody and say, what does he say? He does Yahoo. What will you? I mean, that's it. Immediately, in fact, that should be the end of the story. Or they don't ask again these days. Praise God. We have some characteristics of a diligent person. There are some attributes that diligent people, that is synonymous with diligent people. An excellent planner. Let's look at Luke chapter 14, 28 to 29. Luke 14, 28 and 29. Characteristics of a diligent person. Are we there? Luke 14, 28 to 29. Okay. List happily, after he had laid the foundation, and it's not a... That's not the correct. Okay. For which of you intended to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counted the costs, whether he had sufficient to finish it, least happily after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it. Diligent people, they are excellent planners. They plan out their life. They don't dabble into things without having to plan it out. How will this thing go? What are the pros? What are the cons? What are the dangers that might be on the way along the line. There's a parable in the Bible that interests me so much. I don't want to go too detail into it, but I know one day I'll have the opportunity. Parable of the 10 virgins. 5 of them foolish, 5 of them wise. Same information given to the 2 of them. Same situation in terms of moral, they are of equal standard, right? Because they did not say among the foolish there was one that had slept with a man. They said 5 virgin, this one 5 virgin. And they said you were to meet with the bride. Same instruction. But a certain group carry out that instruction differently. But they sat down, they have to plan. We are going to meet the bride. I don't know, is there anybody that haven't ever gone to Saskatoon and you just had a credit card that has exactly the amount that will take you to fuel your car to Saskatoon? Who is that person? We need to pray for you. All you had is just the fuel that will take you. You have calculated. You know, people are good at that. They'll go online from here to Saskatoon, the distance between how many gas and what have you. So Google will bring it out for you. And you now just, that's all you had. If you are here, we need to pray for you. Praise God. But what do? You make provision for the unexpected, right? So you it's a product of your planning. It's as a result of your skills to plan. That's why you say, okay, give or take. The wise virgins among them, they made provision. The other one just took their bag, they went. But what was wrong in what they did? Let's even look at it. They said, go. They didn't tell them that the bride might take longer time, right? Nobody told them. But a group was termed to be foolish, while another group was termed to be wise. Why? Because the same information that was given to both, some other persons used it better than the other. Praise God. So when you are given like 10 minutes to cut a tree, what do? You spend some like 6 minutes sharpening your axe. What does that mean? You sit down, you walk around the tree. Okay, if I cut it from this side, where is it likely going to fall? The planning process should be more than the lead time of execution. Because if you had all planned out, it is easier for you to execute. Praise God. I don't want to jump my notes. Starting a large project, you plan it out step by step. You plan the bigger step, the smaller step. That's why we say when you plan your goals, you have your short-term goals, you have long-term goals. Which of your short-term goals is going to interlock into your long-term goals? That's why you see some persons, at a certain time, they are doing a particular business or job, or they are just on a particular career path. That might not be exactly where they are going, but they just need that, you know, to take care of the now. And later, you'll see they will navigate into what they actually wanted to do. Praise God. This commitment to excellence is driven by discipline. So, another characteristics of a diligent person is that they are very disciplined. It takes discipline to be diligent. I still have that under your great planner, because you have to be diligent. For you to be diligent, you plan your thing in construction, that's what we call program of work. If you come to my site and I have my program of work on the board, that program of work summarizes the project. With that program of work, you'll be able to know when we actually started the work. You'll be able to know where we are now. You'll be able to know when we are likely going to finish that project. You have it. Those that did project management, this is what they call critical path analysis. There's one graph that shows you one project that have to be done before another. You know, one that will interlock the other. There's a project there's a certain step in the project that you cannot do except a particular one is done. Planning. For you to excel in life, as a diligent person, you must be an excellent planner. Number two, characteristics of a diligent person. Let's see Genesis 39. Genesis 39, 1 to 6. An excellent worker. Genesis 39, 1 to 6. Another characteristic of a diligent person is that they are excellent worker. All right. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites. Now, we all know this story. Let me not have to go through it. You all know. Joseph got to Potiphar's house, Potiphar said, I don't need to do nothing. Let me just sleep, drink, wake up. Why? Because Joseph was doing every other thing. Is it the same Joseph that was thrown into the pit? The same Joseph that was sold. I mean, Joseph should have every reason to complain. Am I making sense? He should have every reason to be complaining. He should be crying to God. But you showed me, my father gave me a coat of many colors. You showed me I'm going to rule, I'm going to be this. How come I'm here? He found himself in that place. The guy did not mind what he was doing, his thing. Even when he got to the prison for offense he never committed. Rather than crying over spilled milk, he was looking for people, knocking at people's door. Do you have any dream? Let me interpret for you. He was looking for a dream to interpret. That's a great and excellent worker. Praise God. A diligent person is committed to producing excellent work. He wants to get the job done always. And with a touch of excellence. Joseph was sold as a household slave to an officer named Potiphar. But even as a slave, Joseph was working with diligence. Whatever Potiphar gave him to do, Joseph did very carefully and consciously, even when he got to the prison. Number three, another attribute of a diligent person, a task completer. Diligent people don't abandon projects. They will pursue it. This one that you will do business analysis, when you get to the last distance, you run away. You will not go and do this one. You get to say, no, diligent people, they will see it to the end. They will pursue it. They will give it all it takes. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Diligent person. Anybody that is diligent, when he starts a project, he believes in it. He puts everything, he puts his lives into it. Whosoever, whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave without goest. Some person will say, I'm just doing this job for the now. I know where I'm going. This one we are doing. How far have, what have you made out of it? As much as you have the big goals, as much as you have the bigger picture, but that place you are, the Bible says, whatever the hand findeth to do. The Bible did not say, until you find that you want to do, it said, whatever, that anything at all that comes your way, do it with all diligence. Praise God. They complete their tasks. It does not matter what the job description is, large or small project, diligent hand will deliver clearly. As children of God, we are to approach work differently than the rest of the world. The way we do our thing should be different from the way the world does theirs. There should be a touch of excellence in what we do as much as possible. Sometimes to start might be very tough, but be consistent. Consistency over time. Before you know it, you become a master in what you do. Praise the Lord. Number four, they are problem solver. Genesis 41:25-42. Diligent man is a problem solver. These days we say problem is challenge, right? We don't see problem as problem, we see them as challenge. The great inventors today, what they have just done is to provide solution to a problem. And by so doing, they arrest your mind. Sometimes they leave you with no option. Even when you don't like it, you have no choice. They have arrested your future. They already know you are going to need this thing in the nearest future. They have sat down. As we are here, some persons are in the lab doing some experiment. What are they going to need next year? What are they going to need in 2040? Which way should technology go? Some persons are already thinking. And when they come out with that invention, you are left with no alternative. You can't just help it. You run away from Facebook, you go to Instagram. Who owns Instagram? Who owns Facebook? You run away from Toyota, you go and buy Lexus. Who is Lexus? Who is Toyota? These people have a way of arresting our mind. Why? Because they are problem solvers. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, look at how the story of Joseph's story played out. Pharaoh was ready to take any decision at that point. The man had a dream. Nobody could interpret. So it was a national problem. Joseph came to solve a national problem. They have no choice than to make him a prime minister. And for the records, Egypt was the world superpower then because of their economic might. People were coming from all over to come and buy grains for them because of wisdom of one man called Joseph. Solve a problem and leave the rest. Are we problem solvers? Or we just contribute to the problem? As a diligent man, you must be a problem solver. Joseph is an example. A diligent person is a problem solver. He wants and desires solution, not to be a part of the problem. Problem solvers rule the world. Joseph is an example. He just interpreted dream and he became a prime minister. How many of us are ready to interpret dream so we can become prime minister in the future? How many of us? How many of us? And what are you doing to be able to interpret dream? Nobody's raising their hand. So what are we doing to be able to interpret dream? Your own interpretation of dream might not be like Joseph. And I tell people, wherever you find yourself, whatever profession you find yourself, make the best effort. I do construction. I'm not inferior to somebody that is a bank manager. You're a bank manager, that's your business. That's your area of calling. I don't see myself less than you. No. The same thing if you are called to sew, you are a tailor or you are a fashion designer. It doesn't make somebody that is in another profession to be more superior or a university lecturer. That's your business. You choose to go and lecture. Me, I'm not lecturing. This is what I'm doing. So what are you doing? How do you make the best out of what you are doing? No, some of us, we tend to look at ourselves as if that profession we are into is not, you know, look at him, he does construction. I can't imagine he's cutting wood. Really? You might not be making as much as I'm making. I might be cutting wood. That's your business. You that is doing accounting, what are you doing with that accounting? Praise God. Number five, the fifth characteristics of a diligent person, they are motivated individuals. See, some of us, we are so committed to what we do that I'm trying to imagine what alternative you will bring that will make sense to us. I don't know if somebody is getting what I mean. We are so committed to what we do. Just suggest something. It doesn't make any sense to me. Let me just go. I like when I get to construction site, I see a place that is dirty. After 2 months or 1 month, the place looks beautiful. It gives me joy. That might not be your area. Which one is your area? They are self-motivated. They are motivated at what they do. Praise God. A diligent person, they initiate and they can be, because they can be trusted, people want to do something with them. Yeah. I tell people sometimes, your integrity is your collateral. Yeah. When they mention your name, that guy is not responsible. Or they just mention, hey, we take your money, you won't do the job. Most time, your integrity is your collateral. You will not be there. Somebody will say, that guy, give him money, go and sleep. Hello. Praise God. Which area do we need to be diligent? Can somebody help me? Are there areas we need to be diligent? Are there areas we don't need diligence? We are so cold. I hope I'm making sense. Are we making sense at all? Okay, the thing they enter, right? Okay. All right, which area do we need to be diligent? Somebody said all area. Is that correct? All areas. All areas. If it is diligence in all you do, we must be diligent to be rewarded by God. Hebrews 11:6. So it should be no surprise that diligence is going to be required for us to succeed in every sphere of life. It's just a fact that a lazy, negligent attitude will not get you anywhere. Praise God. Solomon contrasts the virtue of diligence with the vices of laziness. The reward of diligence, according to Solomon, is that the soul is made fat. Solomon said that too. And what he's trying to say is that diligence will breed satisfaction. Proverbs 13:4. We therefore need to be diligent in all area of our life. But for the purpose of this teaching, three areas I want us to look at that we need to be diligent. Number one, in our spiritual life. Diligence in our personal spiritual walk. It takes diligence to wake up in the morning and do devotion, right? It takes diligence to wake up and you read your Bible. For you to grow, for you to maintain that relationship with God, there's a level of diligence that comes with it. And if we put that diligence, sometimes we put diligence in some things, but when it comes to our spiritual work, which is the most important thing, we just wave it aside. Is it that because God will understand? I don't know if somebody's getting me. If you have a flight to catch, it doesn't matter what your program is. The flight is 5 p.m. Whether you like it or yes, you must be at the gate at a certain time. True or yes? What if you have a good reason? Maybe your car broke down. Or you are so tired, you worked overnight. Or you slept off. Or you have some small issues. Hello? Why do we keep to that? Now, you know the one that is the funniest among all? You still get to that gate. One young girl will just announce from the PA system, "We are sorry, this flight has been delayed by another 2 hours. The same we that are always looking at our watch and we are so much in haste, we'll sit down for that 2 hours. But why now? You say what? Alternative, right? Because there's no alternative. Holy. You will see somebody, it's always on the movies. We get to, you see the checking point and whatever, everybody will behave. Why? Everybody will behave. The person will just make one announcement on the PA system. Due to the weather condition, this flight is not taking off until 2 hours' time. We'll sit here. But if it is to read the Bible, it will wait. If it is to come to Bible study, that will wait. If it is to do things of God that will benefit us more, that will wait. Hello. Have you been to a business meeting? Ha! Back home, we do tender a lot. They will say the closing date for this tender is 12 noon on the 30th of April 2024. See, 12 noon? There's nothing. I'm trying to imagine which excuse you will bring that will make them to extend it. World Bank project? Oh my goodness. Those guys are experts. There was one tender I attended. It was in Futa, Federal Investor Technology, Akure. One of the co-contractors, was coming from Ife that morning. There was an accident. Pregnant woman, involved a pregnant woman. She carried the woman to the hospital. His car was the first car that got to that accident scene. Carried the woman to the hospital, blood all over his body. And dropped the woman in the hospital, do the necessary documentation. Rushed down to Futa. Before he got there, tender was closed. Does it have a good reason? Is that not good enough for us to extend it? But can I shock you? We did not extend it, though. And we didn't feel bad about it. Hello? Somebody is looking at me somehow. We didn't feel bad about it. That date has been fixed 5 weeks, 6 weeks before then. He has a good excuse. If everybody has good excuses, we won't put that tender for life. Yes. Everybody has good excuses. As good as that excuse was, the chairman said, "We are sorry, we sympathize with the whatever, and our heart goes with the woman, we pray she survived, but this tender is closed." And that was it. Somebody will say, "That was wickedness." No. It's not. Hello? Some people are still contesting it, right? Okay. Okay, no problem. In as busy as we are, let's go to that level now. As busy as we are, how often have we been able to increase the 24 hours a day to 25 or 26 or 27 hours? Are there not enough reasons for us to increase it? Just imagine if we have the power to increase it. Today I will just beg God. I say, "God, you see, I have this project I must finish today. Don't allow 24 hours. Let today's day be 27 hours. God will not answer my prayer. So today it will be 27 hours that will make up one day. Tomorrow it will be your turn to pray. And say, God, you see, God, just do it for me. If this is one thing you will do for me, let today hours end at 30 hours in a day. We will make a mess of the whole thing. That is why sun will set at a certain time and sun will rise at a certain time. It doesn't matter how busy you are. It doesn't matter the situation you find yourself. When it is time for sun to rise, sun will rise. When it is time for sun to set, sun will set. You can't say, oh, I'm running late now, God. Let it not be dark now. You will do that. Somebody in Afghanistan will be praying against that one. Another person will pray for the other one. The other person. So there will be confusion all over. I don't know if somebody's getting me. I read something in the social media. They said, the same rain that the farmer prays for to get his, for his crop to grow, the same rain, bricklayer is praying against it. God, let there be no rain so that the work of my hand will not be destroyed. So which of the prayer God will answer? Time and season, that's the answer to that prayer. Back home. No. We'll be having convention like this. We'll say, God, let there be no rain. God, there must not be rain. God shut the heaven. The first day the rain will so fall. Then the pastor will now turn it to, it's a shower of blessing. Bros, where were you? You don't know there was a shower of blessing before? This thing answers to time and season. It's time and season. Somebody said, this cold is too much. And we are in December. Are you kidding me? Cold is too much in Saskatchewan. We are in November, December. What were you expecting? I don't understand. Praise God. Somebody shout hallelujah. In our spiritual work, we need to be diligent. Moses was careful to instruct the children of Israel to diligently love the Lord their God, walk all his ways, and to do all his commandments. He attributed their success, possessions of the promised land, and their future alignment to their spiritual walk and service unto God. Praise God. We need to do more to grow our spiritual life. Another thing I want to talk about, I want us to look at also that we need to be diligent is our home front. A lot of us are very diligent at work. In the office, we are excellent worker. We deliver so much. We get a good pay. But home front, we are lacking. Yeah, we need to do more. Because I tell people, after everything, when you grow old, you are coming back to the house. Yes. You sure? Most time we don't plan for that old age. I don't know whether we are quick to forgetting too soon when we saw our grandfather and grandmother. You know? The home front is very important. That is the place where we get emotional support. That is the place where we get all the strength we need. You can't be good outside and be a lion of the tribe of whatever in your home. The home front, we need a high level of diligence. Our children, we need to teach them. We should be an example to them. Much more than what we tell them, they should learn from us. See how we do our thing should be enough lessons for them. Your son or your daughter should say, no, my dad never did it this way. Or this is not how we do it in our family. Praise God. Every Christian home should function as a church in miniature way. If we are not careful to uphold the rudiments of a godly home, we may be watching the death of marriage and the family as we all know it. The home is a place where spiritual development is encouraged, physical needs are met, and emotional support to be provided. Diligence in our home. Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 7. 1 Timothy 5, 8. You can go through it when you get home. Home front is very important. I also want to talk about financial due diligence. If you give me 10 hours to talk about this, so I'll have something to say. That is where a lot of people are not getting it right. You know, I was listening to a message yesterday on Facebook. It's as if the person knew I was going to talk about this. He said, his exact words, he said, if you cannot save from 10 naira, you can't save from 100,000. True or yes? People argue with this. You argue with it, it's just like arguing with the law of motion or law of gravity. Hello? You know that law now? Anything that goes up will come down. If you're arguing, you are just arguing that everything that goes up will not come down. Yeah. Financial due diligence, very important. This is where a lot of people get it wrong. You are waiting for that big job, but this small one you are doing, what have you made out of it? I'm able to sew this, and I hope I am not in any way, I won't feel bad for what I want to say now. If you earn 40,000 and above per annum, and there's a problem of 5,000 in your family, you always run to your credit card. You need prayers. You need prayers. Oh, somebody will say, you don't know we pay mortgage. I know. Me too, I pay. Somebody will say, you don't know, it's not enough. Bro, at a time where everybody was at that stage. So if there's no credit card, something will just happen to your family and it'll be like that. You know? So there was a friend of mine in Nigeria, you know, business partner. So I told him to do something and he was not responding. After 1 week, I just called him again. I said, what's wrong with you? He said, no, I'm waiting so that I will collect less more salary. So I said, you want to collect salary to do something of 150,000? You would think I was talking to my son. I said, bro, 150,000. You have worked for 10 years in a big firm. You are waiting for your next salary to be able to do something of 150,000 naira. That's no financial due diligence. You are not doing well in that area. People just believe that until they start earning a certain amount, that's when they will be able to save. Lie. Lie. The same you that were earning $10 per hour, it was not enough. Suddenly you are earning $20 per hour. It's still not enough. So how much will you be earning that will be enough? Financial due diligence. You must know. Hey, look. You see the parable of the 10 virgins. That anytime I read that scripture, I get excited. The foolish one went to the wise one and said, please, our warrior is out. Can you help us with some? Did you hear the response? He said, we just have enough for us. Born again Christian. How come? But we are all virgins now. He said, we have just enough for ourselves. They even suggested, you can go and start looking for where to buy. So at that time, I can say no, I won't feel bad. Is it possible for me to say no and I won't feel bad? A lot of us cannot just say no because we don't want to feel bad. A lot of us will say no, we'll feel so bad, we'll go back and say yes, when actually we are supposed to say no. How or not? Come, can somebody explain that scripture to me? Is that help be your brother's keeper? Were they brother's keeper in that instance? We don't have enough oil. Please give us some. Which story are you telling me? They said, no, what we have is just enough for us. So there will be a time what you have is just enough for your family. There will be a time where what you have is just enough for you. Do you know who gave us that parable? It was Jesus Christ. So. Hello? Is it Bible I'm talking here? Be something else. I don't understand though. Is it not Bible I'm talking here? Maybe the Bible I read was different though. Yes, so what I saw there is still disturbing me. Yes, I still don't understand it. So this is a moral lesson. Financial due diligence is key. You don't eat everything you have. You don't make X and finish X. There's a certain level you cannot do what? And it's not a crime. I used to tell people, I said, is there any time, maybe in future, and I buy a new car, somebody will not say, no, you can't ride it again. You should have bought it 10 years ago. Is there any time that conversation will come up? No. You that bought your own last year, your own is old already. My own is now new. Yes, I'm the one that is riding the new car. Your own is old. But we live a life in such a way that what will people say? How will they see me? We stretch ourselves. Financial due diligence is very important. In the home front, as a Christian, you must be able to set aside what to take care of certain things. You know, each time, three reasons why we do savings. Who can tell me? Number one, two reasons why we do savings, among others, two most important reasons. That's my opinion, if you like, add another one. Number one is for investment purpose. Number two is to take care of the unexpected. Any other reason is just jara. Number one is for investment. You put it into something, you grow something. You gather the money, you save it, you make it, grow it, and turn it over. Then if there's unexpected, you didn't plan it, your tire just punctured, and they need to tow your car to that you are using. I don't know if somebody is getting me. Financial due diligence is very important. I'm going to allow us to ask some questions. But I want us to understand that financial due diligence is an investigative analysis of the financial performance of a company or family. There should be self-auditing at all times. I look at my credit card. So each time I open my iPhone, I go to my credit card. What have I spent money on? Pa, 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 pa. What happened here? And it has saved me on a couple of occasions. There were some transactions that were supposed to be a one-time transaction. But because my credit card detail was with them, it became a repeated transaction. If I did not check, I wouldn't know. But I do a lot of transactions every week. But I just run through it. I said, what's this? Kia, I called. They say, sorry, it was this. And yes, you are talking. If you don't do that, you lose that and that's it. You'll be paying money you did not spend. We don't audit. Okay, this year you made 100,000 or you made 80,000 this year. Please, where did the whole money go to? Do self-auditing. It will help you. It will help you. But you just wake up, you carry your credit card, you go to anywhere, you spend, you come back and you keep living life and they increase your salary and it's just the mail that you will see. It does not reflect in your savings. They just send you a mail, your salary has been increased, and it has reflected it has been implemented from last month, and you are just living life. You are not sitting down and say, okay, what do I do from it? There are people that are just struggling, not because God has not presented them with an opportunity, not because all along they've not come across one thing or the other that would have changed their life, but the way they manage what they have, the way they run their affairs. They are not accountable to themselves. How will you not give account to God? All of us should have learned accounting from day one. After everything, we stand before God to give account. You cannot even give account to yourself. How are you going to give account to God? You put your family into some stress just because of your recklessness. Because of your financial ignorance, you put your family into some, there are things that your family shouldn't be going through at this stage of your life. If you have proper order, there's two things I learned about economics. I say it everywhere. If you ask me some other things in economics, I might not remember. Two things, scale of preference. And opportunity cost is the alternative for gone. Please clap for me now. You see those two things. Anything I might not remember. You see those two things. Oh, yeah. They say opportunity cost is the alternative. That English is too sweet. Scale of preference. Now, if you are sincere, by the time you draw up your scale of preference and you are sincere to removing that one, that is, it will end up to become that most of the things you listed were not relevant after all. Most time, people you try to impress, they don't even see you. They don't know. They have their own that they are battling with. Praise God. Somebody say due diligence. In all you do, please try as much as you can to do as much as possible due diligence. I remember back home. Okay, you see, the kind of business I do, we stand better chance to be duped than anybody. A contractor in Nigeria, oh my goodness. They will come. Somebody will come with a juicy offer. They will say, yes, they want to build 20 lock-up shops, so local government. They will come with the documentations. But it's not left for you to do due diligence. You see them. Is it possible? How is it workable? I remember when MMM started in Nigeria. If you did MMM in Nigeria, raise up your hand. Where are they? You see? I was among those that was approached the very first time. I kid you not. The guy that approached me was my friend. He's an engineer. We worked together. He just came. He said, there's something. They call it MMM. He was running his mouth, and it was making sense. And while he was talking, I was calculating in my head, how much am I going to put? And there's something about me. I hardly test the depth of a river with two legs. That's not me. Anytime I do that, I bite my finger. I hardly. So while I was saying it, I was already calculating in my head an amount of money I would put that even if it doesn't work, I'm okay. I was already calculating. Even at that, along the line, he said, it's 30%. Everything was 30%, 30%. I said, this 30%, where does it come from? He said, no, you don't understand that by the time me, I'll be asking for help, somebody else will be giving help. So I say, hey, I understand. But that 30% that me that is asking for help is going to get, where is it coming from? If that guy had told me a lie, that you see that money, they invest the bulk of the money somewhere, so they put it back, I would have fallen flat. But in his ignorance, he said, no, because by the time I am collecting help, somebody is giving. I said, are you kidding me? You went to school? I said, and you went to school. And I told him without minding words, I said, over time, this 30% will be bigger than the entire investment. I didn't have to go to anywhere to go and think about that. There and then, I jettisoned the idea. Due diligence. Somebody comes with an opportunity. Oh, okay, let me sit down and look at it. But some persons are very critical. They claim to do due diligence as an excuse not to take action. That's also a different thing entirely. They say they are doing due diligence. The little one I have, you are not taking anything. We know what we are talking about. Praise the Lord. All right, I will allow us to ask some questions. Yeah, okay. We still have some time. I will allow us to ask questions. In all of this, so that we will not start dealing with some questions that will just take our time and will not really add much value. I want to see this. If you hear in the news, they're just reading news headline. They said a plane exploded mid-air, 35,000 feet above sea level. Do you need anybody to tell you that everybody in that plane died? Hello? Do you need any? Are you expecting to hear that there is a survivor? It will even be surprising if they say somebody survived. Am I correct? They said a ship sank. The first 12 hours, they'll be searching for survivor. Am I correct? After 48 hours, what are they searching for? Bodies, right? So it means that there are some things that basically it has an answer on its own. You already know that, if you do it this way, this is what will happen. But have you ever read about a woman that survived a plane crash? She fell from a 35,000 feet above sea level and she survived. Who have read about it? A woman, yeah. That's the only person in history that have been recorded to have survived that. The point I'm making is that there's exception to rules. If you fall from a 35-story building, you decide to jump from there, we already know where we are going to end. We understand. We already know what will be the result. But are there instances that people fall from some heights that are unimaginable and somehow they survive? But do we build our faith around the fact that somebody fell from 35,000 story and he survived? Then, let all of us begin to fall from 35,000 story building. Do we build our faith around that? The reason why I'm saying this is that some persons will tell me, I know somebody that is financially diligent, that is diligent in the whole front, that has this, and yet things are not working. That was your question, right? So I'm in the spirit. Somebody put your eyes together for Jesus. I just decided to say that. The reason why you don't base your assumption on that is that as much as God does not like evil, God does not like people that are bad, when it is raining, he does not isolate the houses of people that are righteous alone. The rain falls on the roof of both the good and the bad. Right? But why is it that God should have, when it is raining, let only the good people. I don't know if somebody is getting me. What? Let it be said that you have tried. Do your own. Put in your best. Take initiative. Be diligent in your finances. Be diligent. Get to a level in life where you do what you need to do and allow God to do his own. And there are some things are situational. Some things are circumstantial. How do you explain? Somebody, when we were in school, all through, he was living with a man. Miss Campus, Miss whatever, and he got married. He didn't have to pray for fruit of the womb. He didn't have to pray for husband. And somebody else, church girl, virgin, go to church, does his thing, and he's praying for husband. How? As a how now? How do you explain that? Have you forgotten somebody was born blind? And there were questions. What happened? Is it the sin of the father? Is it the sin of the mother? He said, no, so that the name of the Lord be glorified. So don't sit on the side. In Bible study, the Bible studies team, there's something we always do. We always say that gladdens my heart. We say, don't give people ground to justify their evil. You understand? They are neither here or there. They are just waiting for you to say, it doesn't matter. They say, it doesn't matter. Do your own. Don't bother. Don't do your own. That somebody did it, there's one guy or she or he in Nigeria that went to spray money and he found himself in the prison. Is it a she or a he? People said, everybody's paying money in the prison. Does it make it right? In the party, rather. That in Nigeria, it's a custom. People spray money. How come is she witch hunting? Bro, is there a law against it? Yes. Did she spray money? Yes. Did she break the law? Yes. That everybody break the law, does it matter? Is it she or he? We don't know. Do your own. That everybody does it. Everybody can be wrong. Do you know it's possible for everybody to be wrong? It is possible. You can't say because everybody does it. Does it make it right? There's something that is established to be a lie. We say, okay, because this lie have existed for 20 years, we therefore say it is now truth. Is it possible? Answer, no. Your questions, please. I've answered so many questions, by proxy. Please, I need questions. Let's ask our questions. Is it difficult to be diligent? Is it stressful? Is it something that is possible? Can somebody help me, please? Question. It means we all got the message, right? So if we do exam now, everybody's going to pass. If I pass answer script to everybody now, to write everything we have discussed here, are you sure we are going to pass? Okay, what are the three areas we need to be diligent? Quickly. Quickly, quickly, quickly. I don't want chorus answer. If you know it, raise your hand. Don't pretend. Put your hands together for a moment. What are the characteristics of a diligent hand? Attributes of a diligent hand. Is that what? Start and finish. Okay, that's correct. What else? I can give them mic, let them talk.
They are motivated.
Self-motivated, thank you. Yes, you are correct. What else? That's two. Excellent planner. There is no way as a diligent person that you don't cultivate the habit of planning. Plan your family, plan your life, plan your day. You don't just wake up in the morning and begin to drive. You get to Moose Jaw, you don't come back. And say, I'm just exploring. What are you exploring? You got to plan your day, man. Praise God. In conclusion, let us cultivate the habit of due diligence in all we do. As a Christian does so, he becomes more like Christ, participating more fully in God's divine agenda. Can you try to imagine the level of diligence of the disciples when Jesus Christ was gone? They were going all over. They were preaching to the extent that the Roman Empire became threatened. Do you try to imagine the level of diligence that those guys were exhibiting? Before they were called Christians, they said they were called, the Bible told us that they were called Christians in Antioch. How? They did not come and say, we are Christians. They were not the one that introduced themselves. But a certain way that they were behaving were consistent with the teaching of Jesus. And they were called so. And I pray God in his infinite mercy will magnify this which I have learned today in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
We hope you were blessed by that teaching. For further inquiries, please visit our website, www.rccgpp.org. You can also check us on Facebook and on YouTube at RCCGPPPSK, on Instagram and Twitter at RCCGPPP. If you are within the city of Regina, Canada, you can join us in person at 1771 Bond Street, S4N 1X7 for a refreshing time in God's presence.